Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, Forest Focus. The news is in that Nottingham Forest will not get any points back after their appeal against a four-point deduction was rejected. We'll discuss that and what it means, as well as slightly worrying states of West Ham and Spurs ahead of the weekend when they face Luton and Burnley respectively, in the company of, first of all, Reds fan Pete Blackburn. Pete, afternoon, how are you?
I was going to say morning. It is afternoon, isn't it? Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Thank you. And second guest today is another Reds fan in Paul Morley, who's been on a couple of times. It might be unfamiliar to a few viewers and listeners. Paul, good to have you back. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Matt. Yeah, good. Sun is shining. Feeling upbeat despite the news this morning. So, yeah, all good.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, Peter? How are you feeling about it? I'm still feeling upbeat. I think the psychology of actually beating that Sheffield United game means I'm pretty chilled about not getting points back, even though there was, you know, rumours of getting some back last week. But how are you feeling in general about the news?
Pretty nonplussed, to be honest. I'm not really surprised by the news. I'm feeling very positive after the weekend. My instinct was always that we'd had a sort of relatively lenient judgment, given the scale of the losses and such like. We were given 2 points in mitigation in the original process. I think both the Premier League and other clubs were pretty unhappy with that. Which I think tells you something about what Forest got. I think it's possible to have a degree of sympathy with some of the football club's arguments about why they would have liked less. They're obviously making points about selling Johnson to maximise his value, and also about Forest's situation being perhaps slightly unique in that they came up with a very, very low value squad and no parachute payments and that sort of thing. But, I mean, realistically, to apply those mitigations, I think would potentially undermine the rules in the case of the Johnson one, because you have to have dates and cutoffs, otherwise you can't really have a process. And in the case of the issue around the scale of the recruitment that Forest needed to carry out, I think you're going to find it pretty hard to have a independent commission agreeing that you needed to sign Bian Khan and Richards and Shelby and Huang and Josh Bowler and all those people. So, you know, I don't think Forest can really be too surprised. They obviously wanted less, and we all would have liked that. But personally, not surprised at all, didn't expect any points back. And I don't really see that there's any influence from those rumours that were going around last week, because I didn't believe the rumours last week. I think they were nonsense. And I don't believe any of the stuff about the timelines being changed as a result of what happened at the weekend. So, you know, I think this is just a process that has played out how I expected it to. So feeling pretty good, to be honest, because it was a great weekend for Forest, and I think we stay up now.
Good to have 275 people with us already, and the numbers going up, which is great. Thank you very much to Philip Hull for becoming a member as well. Appreciate the support, Philip. How are you feeling about it, Paul? The psychology of, did you ever think we were going to get 2 points back or not?
I think when the process started, I think I mentioned to you on here, it felt like there was very little room for manoeuvre in terms of getting anything back. So looking at the whole, you know, taking a step back and looking at it, in the round, I think probably, you know, is the result that I think I expected. I think, yeah, have I allowed myself to get a little bit carried away over the last week or so with the stuff flying around? Possibly. So I guess the initial sort of reading, it was a tinge of disappointment. But I think, funnily enough, in terms of the timing of it, and obviously a lot of people saying, why couldn't they have said it last week? I think probably, given that the outcome is nothing back, I think it probably works better for us that it was announced today rather than, you know, if you imagine that had been on Friday, I'm not saying that Luton weren't up for it against Everton, but that would have given them even more of a lift. It gives our players, you know, sort of 24 hours to get their heads around the fact that they're not getting anything back. Now, at least, you know, as Pete said, we've got a great result at the weekend. We've got pretty much a full week ahead of Chelsea to get our heads around this. So I think timing-wise, it's probably worked out more favourable for us to have it announced this week. Of course, the question that you alluded to, Pete, is, you know, had the results gone differently, might the announcement be different? I don't necessarily buy that either, but I guess it's something that we'll never really know. I guess they've not really helped themselves throughout this whole process. It's been a bit shadowy, hasn't it? And even the fact that, you know, you've got David Ornstein effectively becoming the voice piece for the Premier League, because I don't think either the league or the club have made any official announcements yet, but I think everybody's kind of, you know, assuming that he's right. So just the fact that it gets released or leaked through a journalist rather than through official channels doesn't add, I think, to the whole spectacle, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, as Paul said, it's not officially been announced yet, but I know The Athletic are reporting it. I've seen The Guardian reporting it, multiple outlets. They're reputable enough people for us to be going live talking about it now, so I'm sure it's accurate. And on the rumours thing, it was interesting. I remember saying to Pete last week on it, oh, I wonder if, you know, TalkSport wouldn't be talking about it unless they thought there was something in it. But when you speak to people at Forest, they didn't know anything last week. I think it was real Chinese whispers that really got carried away. I think we've all bought a bit into it. And with the conspiracy thing, like, I just don't buy it still. What people are saying is there's one report saying you've got 1 point back, and there's another point saying you've got 0 points back, and we'll submit this one depending on what you get against Sheffield United. I don't see it. I suppose, Pete, does it at least, I know you don't see it either, but I think it's fair to say the Premier League haven't handled this well. The timeline's so murky. The whole process is so murky that they have to look at the whole process around this, don't they?
Yeah, there are two issues here, I think. Firstly, I'm not sure I can really put into words the amount of contempt I have for this nonsense about conspiracy. I think this is embarrassing that we're talking about it in the fan base, to be honest. There is no evidence whatsoever, not a shred of evidence of any corruption or any conspiracy here. What we have to be aware of is that people are willfully, I think, conflating two different things, right? We have the Premier League and we have an independent commission. Those two things are not the same. The independent commission is made up. So I don't know who's on this panel because the report's obviously not been released yet. But if you look at Forrest's first hearing, the initial hearing, it was made up of Mark Hovell, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, a sports lawyer who regularly sits on the serious and independent Court of Arbitration for Sport. I don't think anyone's claiming that they're a corrupt body. There's Robert Glancy, who is a King's Counsel, and Steve Holt, who is head of investigations for one of the country's biggest accountancy firms. These people are nothing to do with the Premier League. They're independent and very serious, very senior, impressive people in their fields. For us to be talking about potential corruption or conspiracy is absolute madness, and it's just embarrassing, to be honest. On the other side of things, though, there are issues with the process. It's pretty clear to all of us, I think, that some of this stuff seems pretty arbitrary. I don't think that you can easily put together all of the different judgments and the appeals and whatever and make a very, very clear narrative for how they've all been founded. I think that's true. I think that's understandable. I guess that's because this is a process that is playing out in public and is new. But you have to feel like surely there was a way to have a pretty clear set of rules and results and outcomes for what was going to happen. And that sort of stuff does obviously leave you open to a degree of this sort of chat about, you know, whether things are entirely above board. I sort of understand that, but then, you know, we have conspiracy theories in all areas of life. I don't think society is to blame for all of them. You know, I don't blame society for Matt Letizia. So I'm not sure if I really for all of the stuff that's being talked about on Twitter right now. So look, I agree that it's not necessarily been a great process. The timelines have never been clear. It does not help when the Premier League have some documents that say you're going to get a result a week from the outcome, a week from the end of the hearing, and then it doesn't happen. But, you know, we sort of find this stuff out as the process goes along, and it has been a bit of a mess. Those things don't help. It needs to be a much better system. It needs to be much clearer. And then, you know, there's much less room for people to be critical about it. And I, for one, would massively welcome that. I mean, the other thing to bear in mind as well is that, you know, away from the Independent Commission, the Premier League isn't some sort of shadowy spectre-type organisation. This is just the football clubs that are in the Premier League. So if you've got issues with the way that they do things and the policies they have, turn your fire on the owners of your football clubs, because those are the people who make these policies. So look, for me, I think it's all pretty mad, and I just don't understand the discourse around this stuff.
I was just going to say, Paul, before you come in, the Premier League have confirmed it on their website. It is, as we reported, the 4 points will stand, and the appeal board this time, to pick up what Pete was saying, was the Right Honourable Lord Dyson chairing, David Phillips KC, and Daniel Alexander KC, whoever they are. But, you know, I'm sure they would have strong reputations they'd look to protect. Go on, Paul, you wanted to add to that.
I was just going to say, hopefully none of the people on the appeal board this time once had a relationship with Stuart Atwell's second cousin twice removed when they were 16 or something like that, because that wouldn't be a good look, but I'm sure that's not the case.
What was I going to say as well? Oh, yeah, it's funny. Just in general, like, fans in general everywhere just seem to see conspiracy now. The first reply to Dornstein's tweet is from an Arsenal fan saying, you know, the Premier League are desperate to engineer a title race. You can see by the decisions we've had against us. From a bloody Arsenal fan, did you not see the decisions they got on the weekend, where Havertz is like dredging the pitch by dragging his foot for 5 yards before getting contact, and Reyes, getting that VAR decision. We got one to go our way for once with the Sheffield United Murillo one, although I didn't think that was a foul. But yeah, I find it a bit tiresome. I'm looking forward to moving on from it, and I hope we can just do the business on the pitch. Is that the thing now, Paul, that we have clarity, which I think is important? We know what we need, and how much do you think we need in terms of points to stay up, if any more?
Yeah, I think that clarity has got to be crucial, hasn't it? In terms of what we need, I mean, I know we'll come on to talking about Moyes and West Ham and Spurs and what have you, but I mean, essentially Luton are going to need 4 points and for us to get nothing. Given that they've won what, 1 in 15 or something like that, I think I sit pretty comfortably. I think, and I think the other thing to bear in mind for us is that there's two teams that since we came up last year that we played in both seasons that we haven't lost against yet. One is Palace and the other one's Chelsea. So, you know, we should take comfort from the fact that we've played Chelsea 3 times now since we've been promoted and we've not lost once. So, you know, if we can manage to, I think if we get a point on Saturday, I think that'll probably be enough. And obviously if West Ham and Spurs show up during the afternoon, we might not need anything. So, but I think we're good enough to get a point against Chelsea. I think it'd be interesting to see the setup now that, you know, had we got a point or two back, and how does Nuno prepare for the game? I'd personally like to see a back three, I think, irrespective. But it'd be interesting to know whether today's outcome has influenced that preparation and that thought process in any way. I think we look very, you know, that shape we had against City, I'd like us to try and replicate that. I think that would be a good way to go in this game. And that extra bit of solidity should hopefully mean that we can pick up a point if indeed we need it come 5:30 on Saturday.
Just last on the point deduction and the whole process around it. I mean, this is a fair question, you know, from a channel member. Why did they wait over the weekend? Yeah, I think the timing, even it just needs clarity. There needs to be a set, you know, a set of this happens there and then, this happens then, this happens then, and then it would put some of these questions to bed. But yeah, I think that's just the Premier League have handled this badly from start to finish, I think, and PSR needs reviewing. Right, let's move on and talk about something else. I mean, how many more points do you think we need, Pete, keeping it pure football? Temps thinks we're safe already. I'm more sceptical. What about you?
I'm really not too sure. I mean, for the last few weeks, I've had 30 points in my head as being likely to bring safety. And I guess I'm sort of probably still more or less there. I don't think I'd be desperately surprised if we stayed up with what we have. I think that's definitely a really realistic outcome. I certainly can't be as confident as Temps was on the pod yesterday, but that's just because I'm never that confident about anything. And I'm always a bit worried and have a little, you know, some little doubts there, especially when it comes to Forest, because, you know, you've been burned before, I guess. And the other thing that sort of plays on my mind slightly is that we've all just seen what one weekend can do in terms of a swing. And it's obviously always possible that could happen again and not be in our favour next time. But I think everything that Paul said is absolutely spot on. I mean, it's hard to make a case that the two teams that are chasing us are going to suddenly turn around all of their form against all the odds in a moment of real pressure and leapfroggers, I think, particularly if we pick anything up, which I think we will. I think 9 times out of 10, you play the scenario out and Forest are safe, maybe even more. So I'm pretty confident about it overall, but I also think Forest will pick up more points. I think we can definitely... Chelsea's not an insurmountable problem to solve. We saw what Forest can do against a really impressive team at home against Man City not so long ago. Should have come out of that game with a result, really, I think. I don't think that's a sort of rose-tinted bias point of view. So I'm pretty confident that there are potentially more points on offer for Forest, like realistic points. And I sit pretty comfortably, about as comfortably as I could do, given that we're still in a relegation battle and I'm a person who worries about things. So I'm sort of relatively confident. And I think 30 points will probably do it, and I think we'll get them.
Good. My alarm went off then. Sorry, that was just something else that's now been cancelled. So, yeah, sorry, Pete, interrupting your good flow there. Quick word for our sponsors, the Trent Navigation. Obviously, it's the Rick Parfitt gig on Saturday, Rick Parfitt Jr. gig. So here's a little taste of the matchday experience for anyone who hasn't been or seen this video for a while. Checking my phone there, see if Forest have put anything out, but they haven't yet, so we'll keep an eye out for that. Talking about specifically, we'll do a bit on Luton and a bit on Burnley, and there's interesting twists for each, starting with Luton, Paul. Moyes is going, 2 games to go. West Ham have had, talking of handling things badly, West Ham seems to have handled this really badly. Like, the poor bloke's in a job, and he's done a good job for them over. He's won a trophy, and it looks like Julen Lopetegui's coming in. Adds a big, potential big dimension to this game against Luton. Or does it not, Paul? Does it change anything for you? Do you feel like the West Ham will still win the game or not?
I think if you're a West Ham, both player and supporter, you're going to want to hopefully give Moyes the best possible send-off, given, as you said, you know, what he's achieved for them. I think I know there's been a lot of derision within the fan base about Moyes this season and the style of play and all that sort of stuff, but I think even those most fervent sort of Moyes out, they've kind of got what they wanted now, right? So I think most of them would sort of turn up on Saturday and give him a good send-off, and hopefully that feel-good factor and I guess, you know, a sense of, you know, is it optimism looking forward to Lopetegui? Question mark's probably a question for a West Ham fan. But, you know, if there is this sort of demand within the fan base to have rid of him, they've kind of got what they wanted, as I say. So hopefully they'll be up for it on Saturday and give him a good send-off. And yeah, I think from Luton's point of view, just thinking about them, if I was in Luton's shoes, I'd be eyeing that Fulham game, the last game of the season, thinking that we can get 3 points there. And then I just kind of hope that Forest didn't get anything this weekend. So, look, for me, I struggle to see Luton winning at West Ham. I think West Ham will turn up and hopefully at least stop Luton winning. And then, again, it comes back to us needing potentially that one more point if Luton do get the job done against Fulham the week after.
They are a weird side. They've had some real tonkings this season, West Ham, but they have actually bounced back from them time and again. I suppose, Pete, does the answer to all my questions reflect on the personal psychology of the person answering them as much as anything? Because if it's me, I see red flags and, you know, Luton are going to win. If it's Paul or others, they think, oh, it'll still be all right. How do you feel about this game and what I said there?
Somewhere in the middle, but, you know, you're totally right. There is... everything is just it's just what we internalize, I think, isn't it? I mean, I think if you're being really, really sort of cold, hard, rational about it, I do think it's hard to make an argument for these other teams that we're fighting against picking up the points that they need to, particularly if we get any more. But naturally, I do have all of those worries that you do. I mean, the Moyes thing, I think, is an interesting case, isn't it? I think it's a sort of a case study for lots of the things we see in the Premier League, where you have teams where the fans, I think, maybe just get a little bit stale with the manager. And we also all have this sort of inbuilt desire to see some sort of like exciting football and these young, dynamic managers that we feel like really they have a sort of brand that represents us and we get this bond, all that sort of stuff. And I think Moyes is probably a bit of a victim of that. I can sort of see it both ways, because football is about escapism and enjoyment and entertainment and all that sort of stuff as well, isn't it? You want to buy into stuff. And I get why you perhaps might not necessarily feel that with someone like David Moyes, his character maybe doesn't lend itself to that sort of stuff. And sometimes the football doesn't either. You know, I'm no West Ham expert, but it looks pretty functional a lot of the time. And they've clearly got a brilliantly talented squad. But on the other hand, you look at the Premier League table, and I just think, you know, where are you expecting to go up that table? I can't see any team above them that I would think they should reasonably be above. So, yeah, it's sort of difficult, isn't it? And you, I guess the obvious thing is to worry that, you know, if that's you, this time next year, you're sort of thinking maybe we should have hung on to the sure thing. But I think that's probably quite a boring way to look at football, and we all want to sort of really buy into the thing that we're getting involved in, don't we? So, yeah, that's my sort of take on the West Ham stuff, I guess, which I don't think you actually asked me for. But, you know, I think I'm slightly distracted, actually, because I'm getting an absolute hammering in the comments. Yes, there's some brutal business out there. I think I've been deemed incredibly naive, smug, all sorts of stuff today, so that's good. Always good for the self-esteem after a long bank holiday weekend. Going back to work. So look, on the other teams, I just think Forest are going to stay up now. I think the weekend was massive for us. But I just don't know how you really can make an argument for Burnley and Luton just turning around everything that they've been. You know, we sort of had these narratives around these clubs coming to get us, haven't we? And I think we do that to sort of protect ourselves a little bit. But Luton aren't really coming to get us, are they? They haven't been for a long time. The wheels have sort of fallen off a little bit for them. And Burnley have got so much to do, particularly if we get anything else. I mean, their situation, if I was a Burnley fan, you can't imagine feeling remotely confident about that, can you? Going away to Spurs, the top six side, and then, even if they are in bad form, and then to a team that's fighting for relegation and getting 6 points from those games, you know, it's just not going to happen, I don't think. So I'm sitting pretty comfortably, albeit with the same sort of worries and doubts that we all have because we've been Forest fans for too long.
Thanks very much to Sam Fuller for signing up as a member, despite Pete being smug and deluded or whatever you are, Pete. Appreciate the support, Sam. West Ham are ninth in the table, 5 points behind Man United, so they can probably catch them. So, you know, they've still got two games to go. I haven't watched that game last night. And the teams above them are, you know, the teams you expect to be above them. So West Ham have probably had a pretty steady season overall. Spurs are the other team, Paul. They face Burnley. They're fifth. They've got Newcastle starting to breathe down their necks. And Spurs are in pretty horrific form themselves, lost four in a row. Same sort of question. How's the psychology of this one play out, do you think?
Yeah, I think Greg said it in the chat. Greg Oram said, yeah, Spurs have lost four in a row now, which I think is the first time for 20-odd years, I think, isn't it? They put the stat up after the game at the weekend. So they're certainly not going to want to lose five. And I think, you know, Ange is coming under a bit of stick, isn't he, from certain quarters, and, you know, have the wheels fallen off, etc. So he's going to really want to use this game as an opportunity to show that, you know, his squad is still on board, and he's still the right man to take them forward. So I personally don't hold any fears about that game. I think I'd be shocked if Burnley got anything out of that. I think yeah, they looked pretty dejected, beaten up team against Newcastle at home on Saturday, didn't they? So for them to suddenly come out and turn it on at Spurs, I think would be, you know, I just don't see that coming. So I think Tottenham will comfortably deal with Burnley, and I think it's, like I said before, I think Luton are not that we necessarily have to worry about them, but I think they're the only people who can catch us, I think.
And even if they do win, Pete, Burnley, that's still in our own hands. You know, we'd be going to Moore, where they've won two games all season. Again, is it sort of a bit like, if we can't get something there, then do we deserve to stay up, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think you can safely say from this point, if we go down, then you're going to be hard pushed defending us. We're going to deserve that, aren't we? We're in a really good position now. And I mean, look, I'd be worried going to that last game. I really hope it doesn't come to that. And, you know, it'd be frankly absolutely awesome if we could be going to the City Ground at the weekend, had it all sort of fall into place, and we're just having a nice big party. So fingers crossed that'll be the case. But certainly, yeah, going to the last game against Burnley, given the sort of concern we have over some of the character of the side and the impact of pressure on them and that sort of thing, would feel pretty nervy. But having said that, you know, they're professional footballers and lots of them are pretty good ones. We're a better team than Burnley, and you'd really hope that they could see us over the line. And like you say, if that doesn't happen now, then, you know, I think you'd have to say we deserve to go down. But look, I think we need to be positive, don't we? we've had a massive weekend. Things have really fallen for us. We didn't necessarily have the best game. You've obviously covered all that stuff. But it feels to me like quite a big deal that things have fallen for us once, because we've been on this podcast so many times talking about all the sort of "woe is me" stuff, where we had just horrendous stuff go against us and mistakes of our own making and mistakes of other people's making and all that sort of stuff. So for things to actually fall for once, get a bit of luck, come out of a weekend absolutely flying and be in a position where it feels like it's totally ours to throw away is, you know, it's a pretty privileged position to be in after where we've been the last few weeks. So I'm feeling really quite positive about it.
Also, thank you to Martin McPherson for signing up. Good to have you guys on board and grateful for the support. It's interesting as well. I will get your take on this, Paul, because Pete talking about managers and how we perceive them. We debated Nuno quite a lot on here, and I was kind of, I've been wavering, but I'm coming around to the idea that I think we should keep him next season if we stay up, if he wants to be here, just because, partly because of our underlying numbers. I know people put zero faith in XG and stats and stuff like that, but our underlying numbers are actually really good. It's just set pieces have killed us. That's a big just. And also he's been dealt a rough hand, stuff we've discussed before. So yeah, I'm kind of more in the Nuno in camp for next season. I know Pete's had his say on the last show. Just curiously, how are you feeling about Nuno as manager?
I'd agree with you, Matt. I think, he's certainly been dealt a rough hand. Obviously, AFCON, points deduction, you know, obviously we went against the refereeing stuff. So yeah, look, he's had a rough hand. And I think looking at the other day, if you look at the table since he came in, just purely on the pitch, I think we'd be, I can't remember, it was either 14th or 15th if the league had started the day that he walked in the door. So, you know, given all the stuff that's been going on, I think that's a fairly solid sort of outcome for him. I think the mistakes and some of the selections and substitutions and stuff, clearly, you know, he has made, I think, no shying away from that. But it feels like in recent weeks, he's got better with that. I think he's made some, I think his selections in the last few games have been pretty spot on. I don't think we've had any sort of, question, certainly not too questionable substitutions. So I think he's, he's learning on the job. Is he learning with a new set of players, or you think now that he's kind of got over that learning period? So for me, and again, it comes down to, I think, sure, Pete said it last time he was on, stability, I think, is absolutely crucial. You know, to be jumping ship and chopping and changing every few months is just not a sustainable way to run a football club. So unless we completely, fall off a cliff in the next two games, and I think if we go down, it'll be gone anyway, from both parties' perspective. But yeah, I think if we stay up and hopefully we, manage to stay up with a decent flourish in these last couple of games, carry that feel-good factor into close season. And then for me, yeah, give him pre-season. I mean, it's going to be fascinating what happens with transfers this summer, given obviously. And I think even, the fact that Forest get no points back today, I think that's even sort of reinforces the sort of, the importance of complying with PSR, not just for Forest, but for all clubs. So it feels almost like we're potentially going to get almost like two transfer deadline days this summer, possibly. You kind of got the PSR deadline day on the 30th of June, which is going to kind of turn into sort of Black Friday for the Premier League, isn't it? You've got all these necessity sales that are going to have to be made for clubs that are, desperate to keep within the rules, and probably a few bargains to be had. Hopefully, Murillo is not one of them. But and then you're going to have a second window. So it's going to be a funny summer. And I think just given that playing out in the background, we want trying to be as stable as a football club as we can. So personally, I think he's done enough to earn a full pre-season and hopefully, kick on. And when I say kick on, if we end up finishing next season 14th, 15th, if he offered me that right now, I'd probably take that.
Yeah, I think maybe he's the kind of manager we need. I think I said this to Pete on WhatsApp. There's a lot goes off at our club. It's kind of chaotic. Maybe just quite a boring, sedate manager is what this football club would benefit from. And you make some good points there, Paul. If you like going back to Spurs, Postecoglou is getting some flack around team selection for the first time, leaving out Maddison and stuff like that. Managers do stuff that fans don't agree with. And also one other thing, Pete, that I think might be a reason to stick with Nuno is if we potentially do have to sell Gibbs White and Murillo, then you're having to effectively, if we sell Gibbs White, you've got to rebuild an attack, really. Do you want to be doing that with a new manager as well? I just feel like Calm heads and consistency is probably what we needed. And if Nuno isn't that exciting, is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely fair. And also, I think pretty much everything that Paul said, I couldn't really have agreed with anymore. I thought that was a really, really thoughtful assessment of where we are. I don't think most of us are sort of in a position where we're eulogising about the manager, or we're sort of, you know, desperately bought into this relationship or anything. But I think you have to make decisions based on balance and on a lot of context, don't you? And I just feel like the football club could really do without an awful lot more change. And like you say, there potentially could be a lot of change on the pitch. And you start tying all those things together and it just doesn't feel like an ideal situation, does it? And, you know, Forest may well find that next year's a tough one because there are obviously, you know, rules that we've fallen foul of already that we're going to have to try and get our house in order with. And it's certainly not going to be an easy environment for us to make an awful lot of improvements. We'll have to do a lot of that internally, I think. We'll have to do a lot of improvement based on what we've got. And I think the good thing about that is that we're sort of seeing some of that play out already towards the end of the season. I can see shoots of reasons for optimism. And, you know, you only need to look at Callum Hudson-Odoi's performance at the weekend to think, wow, you know, what could a confident Callum Hudson-Odoi with a run of games achieve next season, you know, after he's had this first go at sort of returning to first team football and he's sort of overcome a few little hurdles along the way and he's really, really sort of grasping the mettle now. And there's loads of sort of players like that in the team that I just think you look at their sort of progress, you know, Nico will be another, and think, you know, there are real reasons for optimism. And I think we've got a lot of the answers to a good season in the squad already. And like you say, the underlying data is really good. There's some simple stuff to solve. And I think, like Paul said, it does feel like some of those things have been becoming addressed. I think Nuno's maybe been a little bit sharper in recent weeks as well. And yeah, I just don't want to see loads more change because it just puts you back a step one, doesn't it? And I don't think we can really afford to be making a lot of change, you know, not least because it's going to be incredibly expensive to get rid of the manager and the staff. It's incredibly expensive to have a turnover of players again. So I don't know whether we've even really got a great deal of choice. But certainly, I think there are building blocks at the club. And I think for once, it needs to be one of those summers where we look at what we've got, add in little areas where we think we can add something, but really sort of work to develop from this point rather than changing everything again. I think there's plenty at the City Ground and in the squad and the staff now for us to be reaching those sort of levels that Paul talked about in terms of just being a couple of places up the league and things seeming a little bit more comfortable. And look, I'd really take that right now. I think slow progression would be a fantastic outcome for the football club. Sorry, on another note, I was trying to check my phone at the same time as everyone was talking because I think the commission report is out, but there's too much of it for me to give you any great any great steer on what it says. I don't know if anyone in the comments has had a decent look at it or not.
One for another day. Well, one for tomorrow, actually. Tomorrow's with Paul Taylor and Mikey, so we'll pick this up tomorrow, lunchtime. Yeah. I think Palace are probably an interesting case study as ever with us. I know Glaston looks like the shiny toy that got away at the moment because he was in the running for our job, and by hook or by crook, we didn't get him. But, you know, we played Palace and they were very workmanlike, very dull, very well structured, which is kind of what Nuno is. And then they get Elise, Eze and Mateta on the pitch and they're game changers, Eze and Elise. And fair play to Glaston for getting a tune out of Mateta. I saw last night he scored six goals never scored more than six goals in a season before. And now he's got, what would it be now, 9 in 6 games or something. So, you know, like Pete makes a good point about Hudson-Odoi and Elanga, and there's players to build around. If Nuno can build around those players and keep bringing a bit more verve to our play, which we've seen periodically, then, you know, I feel like we could be on a decent track next season. And I'm optimistic. Let's just get through the next two games. Any final thoughts, Paul, on just the state of play before we move on to any other business?
Yeah, I was just going to say, thinking on the Nuno piece, if you look at it from the outside, if you're a, let's say you're a prospective target of Forest, if they did think about replacing Nuno, you just look at everything that's been going on at the club with, you know, the tweets. Would you as a respectable sort of manager want to walk into that environment? I'm not so sure we'd be that attractive as a proposition for anybody, to be honest, or certainly anybody who we think is going to elevate us. So look, I think sometimes better the devil you know, isn't it? And I'd stick with Nuno, and I think that yeah, get through this season. It's been, you know, it's been a bit of a shit show, hasn't it? To sort of put it mildly.
He's my one swear word for the algorithm there. It's fair.
But it has. And if we can come out of it still sort of intact and you know, just as Pete said, look forward, bit of stability, and hopefully kick on gradually and establish ourselves in this league. And I think it's all about Palace. This is going to be the, I think, is it the 11th season in a row that they've finished between 40 and 49 points. So yeah. In terms of a model of stability, I mean, do we want to be doing that for 11 years? You know, maybe that's just a nice sort of comfortable existence that we can expect, or that we should expect, or should long for. But take it step by step, and yeah, let's get through this season and look forward positively.
Yeah, I'd love to aim for 50 points next year, but that's all, like, we've only got 30 this season, so that would be just making huge strides. But I think that would be, yeah, what to go for. Right, just before we go on to any other business, as ever, do us a favour. 520 people with us. If you haven't already, do hit like on the stream and consider becoming a subscriber and a channel member. And a lovely review on iTunes would be nice. Right, any other business, Pete Blackburn, before we go?
Nothing major. I guess, firstly, just a pleasure to meet Paul and listen to his views on stuff. I think it's been really interesting during this 35 minutes or whatever it's been, so that's been great. The other thing, I guess, just I just really hope that whatever our views are on the situation around PSR and the rules and all that sort of stuff, I just hope we're not here again next season, and that the right lessons are learned in the club and such like, because it does have a really damaging effect on reputation and on some of our relationships with the club. And, you know, having this hanging over the football team for so long can only have been a difficulty for the players. You know, it's been a pretty, I won't use Paul's word, because I think you've maxed them out now, which is a shame. But it has been difficult, and it has really impacted the enjoyment of things, I think. So I just really, really hope that, you know, whatever our sort of progression or regression is next season, that we're sort of fighting on our own terms and it's all performance on the pitch, and we can just really, really enjoy that. So yeah, fingers crossed, lessons are learned, and finance directors aren't getting told to shut up and whatever next year. So that's my hope.
If we do that, that was reported in The Athletic, by the way. That's what Pete's referring to. Yeah, if we do see up, I think the overriding emotion is just going to be relief. It wasn't last season. It was like joy. But there'll be relief this season. And then let's hopefully sweep it under the carpet. This is the kind of conversation we'll hopefully be having on Monday when we're, touch wood, safe. But yeah, that's how I feel about it. Any other business from you, Paul, before we go?
No, just I'm coming up to the game on Saturday, so I'm really looking forward to that. It'll only be, I mean, the first time I've been up since the Everton game. Just for those that don't know, I live down in Surrey, so yeah, really looking forward to that. And I don't know if you guys are going, but yeah, hope to see as many Forest fans there, and I'm hopefully going to get an hour or so at the Rick Parfitt gig afterwards before I have to get a train back. So so yeah, if anyone's there, look forward to meeting anybody and hopefully celebrating, as you say, survival and the relief of it all.
Yeah, I shall be there. Pete was nodding along as well, so he shall be there as well. Hopefully see as many people as we can pre-match at the Trent Navigation, and post-match I might be able to make it as well, depending on post-match streams. Right, the only thing I was going to add, a nice note to end on, it was highlighted on Twitter to me about Forest Women. Shout out for Freya Thomas. She won Fans Player of the Season, Coaches Player of the Season, and Players Player of the Season. So she must have been the outstanding talent in the Forest women's team. So well done to Freya. Right, as I said, we are back tomorrow lunchtime with Mikey and Tails, and then Thursday match preview, and then Friday opposition preview before we discuss the Chelsea post show after the game on Saturday. Right, Pete Blackburn, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Really enjoyed it. Cheers.
Good man, good man. Paul, good to have you with us. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt. Been a pleasure. Thanks, Pete.
Have a good day, everyone, and we shall hopefully see you tomorrow. Sports Social Podcast Network.